Before I start with any questions, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody being here today, but more importantly, just all year, your guys' professionalism. And, you know, I know sometimes you have a tough job and you have to ask tough questions, but the professionalism in this room, I just really appreciate it. I just want to thank you guys for a great year, you know, across the board from beginning to end. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to the program. And so I just want to take that opportunity to say thank you, guys.
We'll open up questions front row middle, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. That's very nice of you. You guys use the one high safety and the three corners mostly when you, for your starting secondary. Is that kind of your defensive philosophy moving forward, regardless of who the new coach is? Is that how you want to do it moving forward?
Yeah, that's kind of our base. And, you know, we definitely can get to a two-high look, and we will. You know, we're gonna diversify a little bit more this year, but certainly we don't want to change our philosophy. We kind of built that this year. We thought we made some great strides there. Certainly not perfect, but... you know, we're gonna keep the structure of what it is now, but we're gonna diversify a little bit as we move forward.
Just a couple more quick ones. Jeff Hafley was in the box. Greg Madison was on the field. I know it's early, but will the new coach likely be in the box? Greg on the field, or?
Yeah, you know, we haven't hired anybody yet, and you know, once we go about the business of hiring somebody, we'll kind of figure all that out.
And then just a quick recruiting question: is the plan for the 2020 class to get one more running back as you stand here right now?
You know, the numbers are pretty tight right now. So, you know, probably not, but, you know, we'll kind of see how things go.
Third row left, Dan.
Ryan, the hiring of Corey Dennis coming in and choosing him as Mike Gerst's replacement, how important was the familiarity and him being a part of this staff already in terms of making that hire?
Really important. You know, since I've got here, Corey's kind of been my right-hand man, and he's, you know, he's kind of right from the beginning, from when I got off the plane that first time. You know, we were kind of together, and, you know, we've spent a lot of time in that meeting room together, and he knows exactly how we teach things. And he's got a tremendous relationship with the quarterbacks here. He's done a good job in recruiting. He's been, had a hand in a lot of stuff. And so, you know, I feel great with not only the fact that he can teach the way we teach it, but also, we need some continuity in that room. And you know, Corey's a young coach who's got a really bright future. And I think everything that you put into Corey, you're going to get back and invest because he's so bright. But you know, when I got in here, and then you know, Mike came in, and now this is the third guy in really 3 years. And I really want to solidify that room and have some stability in there. So I think that was critical too, because I know Corey, you know, is invested in Ohio State and his family. So when you combine all of those things together, I thought it was a great hire.
There were reports that he was going to go to Colorado State in December. Was that something that changed at the last minute with that job opening up?
Yeah, I think he had an opportunity to go there as well, and all things kind of happen fast as they do in December and January in the coaching world. And so I even believe maybe he was out in Colorado at one point and he came back to Ohio. So I know it was very exciting for he and his family, and he was really excited to get back to Columbus.
Just want to ask you about Justin as well. Obviously, he's coming off the knee injury. As he's going into these off-season workouts, do you guys place any restrictions on him, or are you cautious with him at all as he's going into these workouts?
Yeah, I mean, if his knee is still there as we start kind of into the running phase of things, then we'll be smart about it. But, you know, we're hoping that by the time, you know, we get to that point, he's rehabbed and he's 100%.
Over to the right. Blake?
You've been nice enough to talk about Joe Burrow all season, and now that he's won it, I'm just curious if you had any contact and just what your feeling is for him. And the follow-up, I'll go ahead. Was there any thought about what might have been had he stayed?
Yeah, we talked to Joe, you know, several times, obviously on the award circuit, and you know, stay in touch with Joe, and then obviously talked to him after the game and just congratulated him and how happy we were for him. It was just great to see the way he played, and just the way he handled himself all year was awesome. Really cool moment to be there at the Heisman and be there with his family and just see him win that job and overcome so many different things. And you know, in this world, you know, think about the guys we had in that room. It's just amazing, you know. And you do the best you can. You try to make the best decisions you can at the time. And when you think about, you know, Joe Burrow, Dwayne Haskins, and Justin Fields, wow, what a problem to have. And they've all done really well. One's in the NFL, one's a Heisman Trophy winner, and one's a Heisman Trophy finalist in his first year really of playing college football. So, you know, again, nothing but the utmost respect for Joe and just happy the way that things played out, you know. And it's hard to see somebody who you know, leaves the program, you know, graduates and everything, go on to do something like that. But I think everybody understands that you got to make tough decisions. And, you know, we're obviously happy with the decisions we made. But at the same time, it's great to see Joe go on and play so well.
Was that you and Urban making that call?
Yeah. Yep.
Front row left, Mitch.
Ryan, you lost one game, pretty great season, but still, you know, one game from your goal. I'm interested in how you regard the season looking back. I mean, was it unsuccessful because you didn't get where you wanted to be, or do you look at the body of work?
I think it was a successful season for sure. I just think that in the first year of this coaching staff, and you know, a first year quarterback, and all the different things that came in, and, you know, the defensive staff, there was so many positive things in the way that we played. It certainly, we didn't reach all of our goals though, and you know, that's something we got right back in here this past week and talked about. And you know, they're hungry, and this team's going to be hungry. You know, turned around. It's obviously fresh off the loss, and that was a tough game to swallow, but we're already moved on, looking towards the future. But I think that the groundwork has been laid moving forward, and I think there's a lot of credibility now, and I think there's some real good leadership there. And, you know, these guys have tasted it now. They've been in that semifinals here, some of the guys, some of the younger guys. And so I think they're just going to be hungry moving forward and as we get into next season.
So as a first-year head coach, grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 10.
I don't know how to do that, but again, I mean, when you go 13-1 and you win your conference championship, you win the rivalry game, that's a hell of a season. Now, I mean, that doesn't matter where you are, it's a hell of a season. But again, we didn't reach all of our goals, and so that keeps us wanting more.
Second row right,
Ryan. Heading into the spring, what's your biggest concern for the team right now?
I don't know if it's a concern. I think as we get going and we start to, you know, practice and go through workouts, we want to find out who the new leaders are going to be. You know, we lost some really good leaders and you know, some guys who declared for the draft. You know, those were big leaders for us. And so we're going to need some guys to step up into those roles. And as we start to, you know, practice, I think we'll get a feel for what we need. Obviously, in the running back room, you know, those guys are going to be pretty green. You know, a Master played some this year, but we're going to have to, you know, replace J.K. You know, in the back end there, we're losing, you know, some really good players there with Jordan, Damon, and Jeff leaving. So some corners are going to have to step up. So, but that's college football. I mean, you know, you're always going to have turnover. But the good news is a lot of our guys played, you know, in those first, you know, 11 games. You know, those guys were all playing in the second half. So there's a lot of experience there. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to our leadership and how our guys lead and how hungry and accountable our guys are.
Do you pull certain guys aside and tell them, you know, this is what we need from you this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be a lot of meetings.
Fourth row right, Jared.
Ryan, two things. First, after the game in Glendale, you came out, obviously, right after the game, and you said, I feel a lot of emotions right now, including anger. Is there a part of you that's still angry?
No, I've moved on from the anger part of it. You know, I obviously, when you're a competitor like that, it's hard to lose in a game of that magnitude, and you know, you feel like you played really, really well. But when you watch the film, you know, we came up short in certain areas. You know, we didn't do well early on in the red zone. We gave up that four play drive, you know, inside the 7 yard line late in the game, and then we didn't finish the drive, you know, with the last play of the game. And so you look at those moments, you know, there were a lot of great moments. You know, we came out and played really well early on. We established the run. We hit that big, you know, 4th and 1 to Chris for the touchdown. I mean, there's so many good plays. You know, the roughing of the punter was a huge mistake that we made. But, you know, when you're playing in big games and the margin for error is tiny, that's what happens. And so, yeah, I don't know if we moved on yet. I don't think that's probably the word, but it's still kind of sitting there, and we're thinking about it a lot, and it's going to keep motivating us moving forward. But at some point, you do have to take the next step.
The other thing is about the next step into next year. In your own evaluation of your performance, a first full season as a head coach, are there already things that you can now look at and say you will do differently in year two? Are there already things that you say maybe we alter our approach slightly?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, again, one of the things that's the art of coaching, especially in college, is that it changes week to week, month to month, but certainly year to year. I mean, this team is going to be completely different than the last team. This staff is going to be completely different than the last staff. And so there are a lot of things after the first year, once you've established the culture as a new coaching staff, you know, year two is different. And that's the journey we're on. And I think, again, one of the best things about, you know, adapting and being a good college football coach is the ability to move and adjust and talk about those things on a week-to-week basis. You know, what we think right now maybe the best thing in 2 months might not be. I'm interested to see how our guys work in the weight room with Coach Mick and where's the leadership headed. And, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play. We have 15 mid-year guys that just showed up into the team. That's a big chunk of our team. You know, how are they going to get meshed into the team and the fabric of our culture? And those are all things that are coming, and that's the fun part of the journey.
Second row left, Bill.
Ryan, there are a handful of head coaches across the country who are quarterback coaches by trade who elect to not have a quarterback coach. Why do you want one, feel like you need one?
Yeah, I mean, after going through it for a year, it's very difficult with all the things that come with this job to be in that room all the time coaching the quarterbacks. Certainly involved with the offense, and Kevin is a huge part of what we do on offense, and he's going to continue to do more. And we've talked even about moving forward, having him share some of the play calling roles with me, and we're going to continue those conversations as we go through the spring. But one of the things, whether it's special teams, I'm in every special teams meeting with Coach Barnes. While that's going on, the quarterbacks are meeting. I want to be able to jump in and out of different things and have the flexibility to do that while the rest of the team is meeting. And then on the field, I stay pretty close to the quarterback. That's kind of how it works. But you certainly need a really good teacher in that room, because there's a lot of teaching that goes on in that meeting room that's critical.
So throughout this first year, as you were balancing all that stuff, the amount of time you were in the quarterback room, was it more than you thought you'd be, less than you thought you'd be, wanted to be? Like, how did that all play out?
Less, more on the field. I think if you just saw the flow of how it worked, once we got on the field, I mean, I was kind of right there with the quarterback and coached him up on the field and making sure we're on the same page. But when it came to meeting, Mike kind of met, Mike and Corey were in there, and they were meeting.
Is it hard to let it go? Like, it's kind of, it positions your baby a little bit. I know the team is your baby now, but for a couple of years, it was just like that group.
That is one part of being a head coach, is that you have to let things go. You have to trust the guys that are around you. And that is one thing that I've learned this year, is that you're only as good as the guys around you, and you have to let things go and you have to trust them, because you just do. If you don't, you drive yourself crazy, and you can just become exhausted, worrying about all the different things that come into play.
And along those lines, you mentioned the continuity with Corey, and obviously he, a lot of ways, feels like an extension of you because he's worked with you for so long. I think other people would say there's a benefit to bringing in somebody who's not that closely related to you and have a different perspective. How much did you weigh that, and did you come close at all to bringing in somebody from the outside? Is there any value in that?
Yeah, I think two things. One, again, I wanted continuity, so I knew Corey is invested here for a while, which that was certainly important. But I think when you're dealing with a quarterback, for me, it has to be done the way that we've done it here. And when someone else starts bringing in their different opinions, or, we read it this way, well, we don't have time for that. We know it works here. We have a system in place that is really efficient. We feel pretty strong that we know how to develop quarterbacks. And one thing that I just felt like I couldn't have conversations with is like, no, we're going to read this differently or teach this differently. Like, we have so many other things that we need to focus on. We feel great about that, and Corey's bought into that, and he's going to enhance it.
Far left, Matt.
I'm just wondering, do you have any feelings about the targeting rule? There's been a lot of conversation about it, especially because of what happened with Sean and even in the title game. I'm wondering if you feel like that's something that needs to be revisited, or is it going to be, it's too penal? Just your take on that rule and the ejection.
Yeah, I was at the AFCA convention head coaches meeting yesterday. There was some talk about that and trying to make some adjustments. I'll let Todd Berry and those guys, talk about, some of the things, but I do think that some of those things should be looked at. It's certainly a difficult thing at times to officiate, as we all know. It's in there for the right reasons, but there is some gray area there that sometimes is hard, so totally get that. But I definitely think the walk of shame, where the guy, he gets done, he walks off the field. I don't think that's right. And so, again, I'll let kind of Todd, go out there and talk about some of the things we voted on yesterday, but I do think there's some different things we can look at.
Regarding Sean, I mean, you lost some underclassmen to the NFL, but he's coming back. How significant is that, given you talked about the secondary having him back?
Yeah, it was huge. Just like when Damon came back, I mean, having somebody who's got that much experience, played in big games, that was a big, big deal for us. And then, Sean has now got to become a leader. He's got to take that next step. And, we're going to move him to corner full time. He's going to play out there. And, we think he's going to be, he should be a Thorpe Award finalist, right off the get-go. I mean, he got a chance to be one of the best corners in the country and hopefully a first-round draft pick next year. And that's huge for us. And, we're going to have some younger guys playing back there. And so having his experience will be really important.
Second row left, Bruce.
I would assume in the day after the game, you thought about it a lot, all the different plays, all the different things.
2.5 weeks out, how much do you think about it? Think back on that night.
Probably as opposed to every second, every other second. Yeah. I mean, especially when the game was played, you know, Monday night and just right there front and center. It's hard to let go. I'm just telling you, it's hard, and we're not going to let go. You know, I think you do have to move on with your life, but at the same time, you know, we talked to the team that we're not just going to, like, flush this. It's just, this is going to be here for a long time, and that's the way it should be, you know. We felt like we had a chance to go win the whole thing. We didn't do it, so it's going to stay fresh in our minds.
Because it's your first loss, do you feel like they won it, or do you feel like you lost it?
I don't know. That's a great question. I know that two teams were evenly matched, very talented in a high-profile game like that, and there's a lot of back and forth. I thought our guys completed really, really hard. I thought we had a really good plan. You know, we came up short in the end, but, you know, when you're playing games like that, there's big plays, and all it takes is a few not to go your way, you know, whether it was the interception or running into the kicker or whatever those things are. If you don't get those big plays, we call them gaps, game-altering plays, then you're not going to win in the game. And we did not win the turnover battle. We didn't do well in the red zone. So if you combine all those things together, you know, we didn't win. But I thought we were well prepared, and we played really, really hard.
The reasons you've given for hiring Corey make a lot of sense. The headline on hiring him, of course, is Urban's son-in-law. People may wonder if Urban had input on that, but I wonder, your last time you addressed it here, I think it was Bill's question, there were thoughts that maybe Mike had his own way of doing it, and not that you guys fought, not that it was unpleasant, but it sounds like a confirmation from you that maybe the thing, maybe in hindsight, if you could go back and change something your first year, would it be you learned or were enlightened on the fact that I got the Ryan Day way, I want to coach quarterbacks, and I don't need... Elsewhere, those kinds of outside opinions might be great, but on this position here, it's not great.
No, actually, it's the contrary. I thought Mike did a great job, and I think if you look at the way Justin developed during the season, he did a really good job. And I think a lot of that had to do with it. He did things the way we talked about, and we were all in alignment, and he brought great ideas. He was really good in that area. The frustrating thing is he was here 1 year, and he was gone, you know, and that's... That's hard. We don't want that. We want continuity. And you know, a place like Ohio State, when you have a high profile offense, you know, people are going to come after your guys. And you know, I get that. But you know, we think this is a way to solidify that room a little better.
Fair to say, Mike could have. You wanted Mike to stay.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But you know, I don't know if it's public the amount of money he was offered to go to Texas. But that's a lot of money that he and his family couldn't pass up. And so you know, wish him nothing but the best of luck.
You know, you had behind Justin for next season a grad transfer or a fifth-year senior quarterback and then two true freshmen. Just what's your level of confidence that you have a situation behind Justin better than what you had maybe this season?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping, and that's why we brought CJ and Jack in here, is to, you know, compete for that job. And so, you know, we'll have that room stronger than it was at this point last year, that's for sure. Now, you know, those guys are going to have an opportunity in the spring to learn and grow, and hopefully we can develop some depth there.
And you mentioned before just being really tight on the scholarship situation, and this will be your first time kind of handling that as a head coach. I guess what's kind of your philosophy towards that? Because it's obviously going to be kind of a delicate thing to approach here, I guess, through spring ball.
Yeah, and I think that it's changed just with, you know, the different transfer, you know, situations and portal situations that are out there nowadays. And so you have to be able to adjust and move. But it's tight, and we'll do the best we can to try to project.
Speaking of gaps, how much have you looked at the catch, strip, scoop, and score? And did y'all discuss that at the coaches' convention about what is a catch when a guy actually has the ball in his hands for three or four steps? I mean, and have you gotten any more clarity from that ruling since then?
No. And, you know, I really – once we got out of that game, you know, in terms of all of that stuff – you know, we typically have communication with the Big Ten. That was an SEC crew, so really didn't get into all that. It was kind of behind us and thought at that point it wasn't worth bringing up.
It was behind you. Okay. how do you – you were once a young incoming quarterback. How do you step into a system like CJ and Jack are doing and exert leadership like the coaches want to see you do, and yet know there's a hierarchy there and – there's learning to be done. What do you want to, I guess, see from them over the next several months to show you that they're the real McCoy in that regard.
Yeah, I think that you set a standard, first off, about how you go about your business, because if you're not doing that, then no one's going to follow you. I think you start to build a rapport with the guys you come in with, because the thing that's unique about this class is there's 14 other guys in that room, you know, or came in that class, so that you can build a little bit of leadership with that group. But then there's little ways that you can do that. You know, even if you, let's say we call a tempo play, you know, he can be kind of barking at the guys, come on, let's get lined up, let's do those things, as opposed to, you know, giving them real intricate, you know, you should run the route like this. Well, we're not there yet now. Just you got to kind of prove that you know what you're doing before you start doing those type of things. But there are certain ways to build credibility and to show leadership, and a lot of it is just, you know, setting a standard of work ethic and making sure you know what you're doing. And those are all ways to get started.
Can you have too many guys competing to be the leader, though, if you follow my drift? I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, when you think back on some of the rooms we've had here, I mean, those guys were all good leaders, and they all went on to do great things, and, you know, proud of the people that have been through that room the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, and the development that's gone on, and, you know, those guys can be friends, too. You know, I thought it was really cool, not that I wasn't here for Cardell and Braxton, but I saw that commercial where all three of them were in the car, and they're still close friends to this day. They were all in the room together. And again, same thing with Joe. You know, everyone has their own way, and things like that happen, but the relationship can still be good in there, and they can do it together.
And one other quick thing, this came up, and it came up with you guys. Y'all like to run tempo when you get a first down, you get going. And more it seems a proliferation of what I call fake injury situations where guys are going down. Was there any talk in your coach's convention about addressing that aspect of the game?
That wasn't brought up specifically, but sometimes those things are brought up in our league meetings. But, yeah, I think that's an unethical move, is to fake an injury for sure. But yeah, it's something we need to bring up and have a conversation about.
Fourth row middle, Joe.
During the season, I know you focused on the offensive game plan a lot. Looking back, assessing the defense with your coaches, what was your evaluation, D-line, linebacker, secondary?
On the season? Yeah, I thought as a season it was a success. I thought, you know, we installed that kind of new scheme, and I thought it was really well done across the board. You know, I wish we had done a couple more things in that last game that, you know, would have helped us win the game, but at the end of the day, I thought it was a great start, and now we got to build on it.
Front row right, Austin.
Ryan, I wonder, now that the season's over, if you could shed a little light on what Justin was dealing with the knee or any at all. Like, how much did you think that really impacted him in the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, without getting into too many details, I mean, you know, it wasn't something that, you know, was catastrophic, but at the same time, he wasn't 100%. And, you know, there were times this year where he missed practice. And so the whole arsenal of stuff was not there. But I'll tell you what, he's tough. And he worked through it, and he competed, and he played hard. And, you know, it's a tribute to how tough he is and his ability to work through things. I mean, really leading into the Big Ten championship game, he really didn't practice much at all and wasn't able to do much. And just the way he played in that game, especially in the second half, once he got his legs underneath, it was very similar to the JT Barrett, you know, a couple years ago. I think it's very hard for a college quarterback to play at a high level without practicing. I think if you're Aaron Rodgers and you've been doing it for X number of years, it's okay. But when you're the timing and everything, it's very hard. And then the way he played, it says a lot about who he is as a competitor. And I thought he played tough. I thought him watching the film, he played good against Clemson. I mean, he played good. He made some really good throws. Some throws we just missed, and he competed. And I'm really proud of the way he came along this year. And I thought from game one all the way to that last game, he really improved. And so it's exciting that we're gonna have him back. I mean, that's what's so exciting. Had so many quarterbacks. I feel like over the last 8 years, haven't had a quarterback that has started and then come back and had another year with him. This is the first time I've had him since I can remember. So that's exciting.
I don't know if you can or want to say, did he just continue to need rest over the last couple of weeks, or is there any procedure that had to be done for that knee, or I don't know what you can or want to say that.
Yeah, I can't really get into all that. There's some of the rules that you know, tie me into not saying anything. But, again, we don't see any issues moving forward.
So when you're talking about this, having him as a second year as a starter and having got to experience that, where do you see it going? What do you want to accomplish? What can that mean for him?
Yeah, we're gonna meet on it tomorrow, and you know, sit in there with Corey and Justin and I, and really talk about what's next for him. There's a lot of things that we can really work on. He's made a lot of great strides, but there's certain things in his game that we can really take to the next level, and that's a great conversation. I know he's excited to hear what's going on.
All right, Gary.
Ryan, the continuity piece with Corey obviously makes a lot of sense, but you talk about it as a recruiter. What is it you've seen out of him in the last 2 years working with him that gives you confidence he can go out and find guys and bring them in knowing that he doesn't have the background that you did or that Mike did with other successful quarterbacks to point to? You know, have you seen that from him, and what gives you the confidence that he can do that?
Well, first off, he's been around really good quarterbacks in that room, and he knows what they look like, and so I think his eye for talent is really good. He's, you know, seen a lot of different things in terms of his young career, but he also has a dynamic personality, and I think, you know, the kids really like him. I think the parents really like him. You can tell who he is. He's a great husband, great father, and made the right stuff. Very bright. You know, he played the position, you know, certain times in his career, and so, you know, I think he's really bought into how we do things here, and he's proud of that, and really understands what we're doing in terms of attacking coverages and different schemes and techniques and all those things. So I think when you combine all that together, and the other part of it is you want to go to some place that's going to have that continuity, that, hey, I'm recruiting you, but I'm going to be here when you graduate. I'm going to see you through this thing. And I think that more than anything is a huge selling point.
The trust that you have in him from working with him the last 3 years make it easier for you to trust an evaluation, not a quarterback that you haven't watched yet? I mean, it's such a big piece of the puzzle.
It is, but we're going to work together on that. And that is a piece of the puzzle, but I certainly want to see these guys throw too. And so whether it's, you know, going out there, you know, in the spring for Corey to go watch them, or, you know, you bring them into camp and see them throw, or even get into a game hopefully in the fall and see them throw live. Not that those opportunities are great, but sometimes during a bye week you can do those type of things. But I always feel like I need to see the guy throw live before we do anything.
15 years, you're talking about positions that need a change in leadership or getting one. At the wide receiver room, with the four early enrollees, with Chris coming off of the Fiesta Bowl and that obviously disappointing moment, what have you seen out of him in the last 2 weeks with those new guys that it shows his maturity and his leadership in that room?
I think we're going to see more and more of that as the spring moves on, but It's so early, you know, and Chris is the ultimate competitor. I love Chris Olave, and I'm not sure he ate solid food for about 3 or 4 days after that game. He was crushed, but that wasn't the reason we lost the game. I mean, that kid threw his heart on the field, and, you know, he thought Justin was scrambling. And you know what? When you're playing in games like that, things like that happen, and unfortunately that happened. But nobody cares more than Chris, and I know he's going to come back even more hungry, and to your point, I think he's going to be a leader in that room.
Front row left, Doug.
K.J. Hill obviously leaves a hole at the slot position for you guys. Jalen Gill's there. Looks like Mookie Cooper could be there. But are there outside receivers that we would perceive as outside receivers that you could see being in the mix in the slot this year?
Yeah, we're going to look at it. And, you know, we're going to rank our top six, you know, six wide receivers and figure out who are the top six. And whoever those top six are, they're going to get on the field. And, you know, what you don't want to do is just pigeonhole a guy. You only play this position and have three really good players at one position and only one of them's on the field. So we're going to look at that here as we move into the spring.
Okay. So there are different positions, but that wouldn't be a huge adjustment for a Chris Olave or Julian Fleming or something.
I mean, I think some guys who change direction really well do better inside. So, you know, KJ was excellent in and out of, CJ Saunders was, you know, excellent in there. You know, they can work, you know, Jalen's pretty good, you know, changing direction. Mookie's pretty good, you know, but, the guys who can do that, Austin Mack, you know, really worked in that when CJ went down early on, he actually could handle himself pretty good in there. And, so yeah, we'll look at that. We'll figure that out and make those decisions. You know, we have some time as we get going into March.
Running back room, obviously you said there's a lot of green guys in there. Can Master Teague be the guy, or what does he have to show you? I mean, obviously he was the backup this year.
Yep.
What does he have to show you to be a number one running back in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I don't know what he has to show us right now. I mean, I think that's something we're going to kind of figure out through the spring. I think we had it nailed down with J.K., what he needed to do, and Coach Alford did a great job of that. But that's a young group that, as we get going here, and, you know, it's hard with Master because, you know, he came into some of those games, you know, late in the games and really, you know, it was a great change of pace. He was downhill. He got through it and he got to the next level and rolled. But what really didn't happen for Master this year is in big moments early in the game, or he didn't get a ton of those carries. JK got the meat of those carries. And so That's the next step for Master is now taking on that responsibility and knowing what he's doing and having some confidence in that because he does have the ability.
Looking backwards can be helpful for any young coach as you try to learn for the future. Saying what you've said about Justin and how he was affected by the knee injury, how do you look back on the decision to have him in that situation on fourth down with an 11-point lead and just over 2 minutes left against Penn State? Do you think that was a mistake?
No, not at all. Not even close. I mean, it was a pass, and he rolled out to his left, and it wasn't there, you know. But, no, I would have done the same thing again.
You would do it again in the future?
Oh, yeah.
Situation.
Okay. Yeah.
And to follow up on all the questions about Corey, would you promote a quality control guy to a full-time assistant at another position, in another position group?
Yeah, if the fit was right. Yep.
Is this influenced? Are you more comfortable doing it here because quarterbacks are your area of expertise?
Yes.
Okay. And
I feel like I'm being like, you know, at the stand right now.
No, well,
counselor.
Yeah.
You can object to the questions too.
Plead the fifth.
You're the defendant and the judge.
So on the night of...
Yes. Yeah. He is inexperienced. There are not a lot. You look at Power 5 programs, it's not the most common thing in the world for a guy his age, his experience right. level, who's never been in charge of a room before, to get an opportunity like this at one of the five best programs in America. To me, it is somewhat of a risk. I understand the continuity, especially as it relates to Justin, but then behind Justin, you're going to have three very highly rated recruit, you know, quarterbacks in here who need to be developed and haven't played college football. Is it a risk in some way?
No, I don't think so, because I know what Corey's capable of, and I know that he's got a great feel for those guys. He's a good teacher, and he's going to do a good job. And Kevin will be right in there with him. I'll be right there with him, and Justin's coming back, so he's got a year under his belt. So I think it's going to be a great fit. And again, the best thing about having someone like Corey, who's young and really sharp, is everything you invest in him, you're going to get back. That's what I love. You know, sometimes when you have somebody older like that, that's not the case. And so, he's going to be here for the long haul, and that's a huge deal.
And I'll rest my case after this. Do you think that if you didn't have a co-offensive coordinator title on the quarterback's coaching job, how did that limit the pool of people that you maybe, if you would have gone outside, that you could have gotten to come here?
I didn't really look at it like that because, again, Corey was what I wanted, you know, really. And I didn't really spend much time thinking about it because I just knew – again, for all the reasons that we just talked about, that was what we needed right now.
Right, Rob.
Yeah,
just have time for a couple more.
Yeah, the first of 10 questions here. Going to ask you to reflect a little bit, even though the season's fresh. Big story coming in was you were following a legend, and you talked about putting your stamp on the program and as you went forward. Reflecting here, what stamp do you feel like you put a stamp on here? It's unfair to compare to the past because you make the previous guy look better or worse. But what stamp have you left on this program? When did this program become yours? When did you really feel it became yours? So those are the first questions.
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. I think that anytime you follow up a legend, it can be overwhelming. But that's the way I approached it. It was an opportunity and looked at it that way because, again, that can eat you up. You know, especially here, and you know, you understand the expectations. And so the whole focus was how hard, how tough can we possibly play? What kind of chemistry can we build? Can we build this tough love that we're talking about? And we just went about it every day. And I think people appreciate how hard and how tough we played this year and how physical we played and the energy that we played with. And, there were a lot of new things that went into the program. There was a lot of things that, carried over from the year before. And not trying to say, hey, this is the way I do it, trying to do what's right. And I think that was really important. And drop your ego on it and figure out what does this team need right now. And I think, you know, everyone in Buckeye Nation saw a team that played really, really hard. It was well coached. Again, we didn't reach all of our goals, but certainly a good starting point here as we move forward.
What about playing loose? A lot of talk about maybe they were a little tentative last year, a little tense. And this year they were having fun. I know that's a loosey-goosey word, but is that maybe something that you brought to the table, this idea of we're going to enjoy ourselves a little more and not just be uptight?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair assessment. I do know that, you know, this coaching staff is very competitive in that we want to be aggressive. You know, we certainly don't want to take ourselves too seriously, but, you know, when you're in a place like Ohio State, that's hard not to do because the expectations are so high. But the only way that I know how to do it is to be as confident as you can, be as aggressive as you can, and let the guys go play. And that's the way I think our team played this year. And, you know, we got to keep building on that moving forward. And again, you know, it's just, it's hard because of the way the season ended. I mean, it's just, you know, you get that knot in your stomach and you can't even eat for like a couple of days or sleep and you just keep thinking about every call and everything that went wrong in that game. And so that's hard as a competitor. But, you know, I think these guys are going to come back even more hungry. And again, when you look at what we did this year, I'm proud of the way the guys played, how hard they played, how competitive they were, and how much they played together.
A couple quickies. Maybe worst kept secret, I don't know. Kerry Combs, is he your next defensive? Are you bringing him in? Can you speak to that?
No, we haven't hired anybody yet, and, you know, still going through it all. And we'll just go from there. I'm not going to go through that right now.
Okay, last thing is you're watching the national championship game. Three pretty even teams, you and the other two. Did you learn anything through watching that game that that's something we could do or exploit or anything?
Schematically?
Or educated, yeah, just any of that. Did you take anything away that could help you?
I mean, nothing that we didn't know going in. You know, I think our guys, like we said, going in, it wasn't like that stage was too big for anybody or it took us a while to find the speed of the game. We came out playing great. I thought it would be a little harder to find the rhythm of the game. I thought it was going to be just fast and furious early on and we were going to be a little helter-skelter. We weren't. We were locked in. I thought we had a good plan early on and they kind of got back into the game. It swung. We took the lead. They took the lead back and then we couldn't finish it. But that's, you know, we weren't in that kind of a game all year. You know, we came back in the Wisconsin game and pulled away, but you know, we have to be able to win a game in the fourth quarter in a 2-minute drill where the game goes back and forth like that. And we didn't. So that's something we'll work on in the spring. We'll try to put the guys in situations where they have to go win a game like that, where they go back and forth. So.
All right, Bill. I only have 12 questions. Actually, most have been asked and answered. But I was just curious, watching the LSU-Clemson game, how hard was it, and how much of it did you have to try to resist the urge to say that should be us, and how would we do against LSU?
Yeah, it was hard to watch. Yeah, it was hard to watch, I'm not going to lie. It was very difficult, and I told the team and the coaches that I wanted everybody to watch that game as hard as it was going to be from beginning to end, and then think about the things, how bad do they want to get back in that game next year, or back in that situation and get to that game. And then what are they willing to do and what are they willing to sacrifice to get there? And that's, while I was watching the game, that's the same thing I was thinking.
The unknowable question, how would you have done against LSU?
It would have been fun. It would have been fun to play them. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why you play the game, but yeah, certainly wish we had the opportunity to play them.
And already the two early top 25s are out there for next year. You guys are, you know, the Clemson's one. You guys are pretty much a consensus two. In your mind, what are the expectations for next year? How good do you think next year's team can be?
Well, again, when you come off of something like this, it's easy just to say, let's just get back to that. But there's so many things that need to be done to even start with that first game against Bowling Green next year. And then we got to go to Oregon, and that's going to be a long trip. And then we have to rebuild this thing again. And you start with one game at a time. And again, the easy thing right now is to think about how do we get back to the semifinals. But so many things have to go well to get to that point. And that's why I want to make sure our guys understand that a lot of things did go well, and we did play really well this year to get to that point. And you know, that isn't just going to happen. We have to make sure that we, you know, take it one game at a time and build.
You mentioned the DBs, and obviously that's a huge issue. Sean coming back is a big deal. How concerned are you about getting three guys, having to replace three guys who are really good?
Yep, that's going to be hard. Yeah, I mean, when you think about a position where you're going to have guys to step up, I mean, that's a huge position right there that we got to get, you know, guys to play. Now, the good news is, again, they've played, so it's not like they're completely you know, inexperienced, but now it's the difference being a starter.
And we've got final two questions because we've got a staff meeting, coach, you've got to get to front row,
right,
Joey?
Ryan, on the surface, looking at Justin's season, doesn't look like there's a ton of areas to take a step forward, but obviously you see it differently probably with him. Where do you think year one to year two he can make a big stride in, like, anything?
I think that's for myself and Corey to talk about, just, you know, the things that we see and We're going to talk about that tomorrow in different areas. I mean, leadership's going to be a big one, just, you know, as an intangible. But there's also things, you know, with his game that we really want to look at and work on this offseason so that he can be more efficient throwing the ball.
And with as far as play calling, just to circle back with that, you mentioned Kevin might share more responsibilities. Is that due to you wanting to delegate more? Is it the fact that he's called plays before and you're comfortable with him? I guess what kind of maybe sparked those conversations?
Well, Kevin and I, since this thing all started, we've kind of done it together. We constantly have conversation, and you know, he's got a great feel for called plays his whole life. And so now I think it's a little bit of everything you just said. You know, I think that there's going to be times where it's going to make more sense for Kevin just to call it. But then I'm also going to be right there too. But we're gonna kind of figure out what that flow looks like moving forward, because I think it would, you know, free me up at certain times to go you know, address some other things.
Do you own the Bolt this year?
Yes. Yeah.
Coach, thank you very much.
Thank you.